sometimes these breaks seem like forever.
I know.
And sometimes they just like, whoa, there they are. There you are. There you go.
Okay.
We're back. We're back. Okay. Fill in the blank. Out of these pets, there are the most pet blanks in the U.S. Birds, cats, dogs, horses.
Dogs.
Hold on. It's got an explanation here.
Okay.
Okay. This is a 2018 survey,
okay,
from the American Pet Products Association, found that there was 94.2 million pet cats, and then there was 89.7 million dogs.
Hmm.
There was 20.3 million pet birds and 7.6 million pet horses. That's a lot of animals. But, you know, after this pandemic, I'm sure that number has doubled.
You're going to have to take that survey again.
You're right. And so that's a lot, though. But so cats would be at 94.2 million pet cats back in 2018, and then 89.7, you know, million dogs. So, but like I said, after the pandemic.
Yeah.
Those are probably doubled and tripled in the whole kit and caboodle.
Right.
So. Okay. We left. We're back with Chris, right?
Yes.
Okay, Chris, so you're there.
Yes, I'm still here.
All right. And see, the thing is that, you know, like there's a lot of people that will call me and say, okay, how can I teach my dog boundary training? All right. There is no such animal. There's none. Because with the right distraction, even people that use the underground fencing, the many dogs' personalities are, that zing is worth the gone. And so you know, I live on 20 acres. When I'm out, the dogs are out. When I'm in, the dogs are in. I don't leave my dogs outside because then I don't have to worry about the little ones. I don't have to worry about them being picked up by coyotes or the eagles or the red tails. All right. But the bigger dogs, it's like I'm not taking a chance of them wandering off and either getting hit up on the road or, like I said, Elsie wound up in downtown Hugo. That was years ago, probably about 20 years ago. And so the thing is that, you know, that scared me to death because I couldn't find her. She was good at coming, but the thing is apparently she couldn't hear me from Hugo. And so that's why, like I say, and it was just a blink of an eye. Literally, she went around the corner of the barn, you know, and I was digging around down at the barn, and I come around and called her, and she wasn't there. And I didn't realize she got up on the road, and the boys came by with bikes, and she followed them to Hugo. So like I say, I'm just not, I don't, that feeling that I had that day, I don't want to ever feel it again. And so that's why, like I said, I know I'm overcautious, and that's just the way it is. You know, now, and the dogs, like my Ben, when I brought the Cushman out, he'd ride in the Cushman with me and stay in the Cushman until, so, you know, I'd run the barn, ding around or whatever. But so that's what I mean. There's no such thing as boundary training a dog. And I grew up with a neighbor that next to my mom and dad's, that his idea of boundary training a dog was to let the dog wander off over to our property, pull the dog and beat the crap out of the dog like you went out of your batter. And after seeing that, that just made my heart sick. And I was, I think, about 13 at the time, and I finally went over there, and he was a really not nice man. Well, obviously he's beating the crap out of his dog, but I went over there and just lipped off at him, and then he really went over the edge and called my mom and dad, you know. And so it was coming. I knew it was, I wasn't gonna sit still for it. So that's what I mean. So just to keep everybody happy, get yourself a 20-foot line that you can like hold on to, you know, or you can stake it into the ground or wrap it around something so the dog is always with you, you know, or got cable system, you know, because some dogs are chew through like a line. So then you just get the rubberized cable and put a hook on one side and a hook on the other side and then hook it to something so that if you're going to be stationary, the dog is hanging around you. You don't have to worry about all of a sudden where'd the dog go. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you so much.
You have a grand day. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah, boy, I tell you, I still remember the guy's name, Mr. Kerberg.
Kerberg. It's awful.
Oh, we were so happy. I was never so happy in my life when that house went up for sale. It was just, it was a beautiful German Shepherd, too. Mm. And that poor dog, every time that dog heard his voice, man, her ears would go back and she'd hit the dirt, just ready to be smacked. And it just, it drove me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have been older. I would have smacked him.
I believe it. That's pretty brave of you at 13 to give him a talk.
You have no idea. Because I had put it up for about the winter. We never really saw the dog out much. But during the summer months, we still didn't see the dog out that much. I just wonder what that poor dog went through in the house. So Okay. I know. Who's up?
We got Trudy, and her question's about aggressive behavior in a dog.
Okay. Hi, Trudy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. What kind of puppy do we have?
We have a six-month-old, extremely aggressive Cocker Spaniel puppy.
Okay. And then what do you mean by aggressive? What's going on?
He is very, very aggressive towards our five-and-a-half-year-old Golden, who is the sweetest, most tolerant dog ever.
Okay.
He also will nip at both my husband and me and the kids occasionally if we just walk by them. He's not attack mode, but if you're in his area and he feels like you have something he wants or he just doesn't want you there, he will nip and bite at your hands and your feet. And it's not in a playful manner.
Okay. Can I ask what color he is?
He is technically red,
okay.
I guess.
Okay. Now, did you get him as a puppy, a secondhand dog? What's going on here?
Nope. He came to us as a puppy at about 9 weeks old.
Okay. And how was he as a pup?
Sweet for a couple of days, and then as soon as he got comfortable at home, he started right in on the Golden, just playing. Mm-hmm. But he's been at the pet resort in town, and he's gotten kicked out of play group for playing too aggressively with the other puppies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because what you have to work with and what you have to train is the personality of the dog, all right? And so a lot of people want to go to puppy playtime or dog parks to socialize a dog, and that's the wrong place to go. Because what happens is it teaches them to be more dog, and if they already have an edge to them, it teaches them to be more dog and be more pushy, all right? And so that's why socialization does not come from those two places. But anyway, okay. So the thing is what I would strongly do. Now, you haven't done any formal training with him, have you?
We started with like a puppy, they call it puppy preschool, and then we did puppy boot camp, but that was more sit, leave it, that type of training.
Okay. Because when you have a dog that's this pushy, this is his house and you're lucky to be in his house. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a lot mm-hmm. of training that has to come, and the dog has to earn his rights to be there. This dog doesn't have right to be free in the house. He needs to be on a leash attached to somebody. And when somebody doesn't have a chance or, you know, to be with him, then he's in his kennel. You've got to really limit his space. And so that he's got to earn things. Good things don't happen. If you want to pet him, he has to sit first. All right. And then when you want to go for a walk, he's always walking with you, never scanning out in front of you. And the collar is the collar and the leash is loose. There, you can't even feel that he's down there. All right. So that's why getting the right training collar, getting the right trainer, and start getting him more organized so he looks to you for a leader instead of taking. You've got what's called a general. Okay.
Yeah.
If you want to read the book, People Training for Good Dogs, Melissa Berryman will explain to you, and that book would be very helpful for you because you got to see it as the dog sees it to start working with this personality. All right. It's not me master you dog. That's the worst thing you could do with this dog. All right. You don't go up against him. What you want to get him is get him looking to you for direction and turn the tables that is your house, not his house. A couple questions. Where does he sleep?
He sleeps in his kennel.
Okay. Excellent. Very good. Okay. Where does, are there toys all over the house?
Yeah, there are.
Okay, you want to pick up all the toys, put them in a basket, put them in a closet. You are in charge of the toys. He can have two toys out at a time, right? And then now you got your other dog. Now, is that dog liking toys or not?
He's more of a chewer. As long as he has something to chew on, he's fine. He doesn't play a whole lot.
Okay.
He's kind of lazy.
Okay, so then let him, that's his thing then, okay? And then you can rotate the toys as often as you want. All right. You can ride two times a day, once a day, once a week. You decide. But it's you're in charge of those toys. When you have toys all over the house, then the dog is like, mine, my room, my room, my room, my room. You know, and no, it's not his room. It's your room. So that's why gathering all the toys and putting them in a box and then rotating them, that's going to help you out immensely. Now, okay. How do you feed the dog? Do you have set feeding times?
Yeah.
Okay. And where does he get fed?
He gets fed. He has his own space. The other dog has his own space. But we actually will have to occasionally stand between them because he will go after the Golden food.
And from this point on, he has to go to his kennel to be fed. Okay, you cannot eat in the open. That's a right of a nice dog, not a dog just acting like an idiot.
Okay.
We got to run to a break. So hold on. We got a lot to talk about. Okay. Don't hang up. Okay, here we go. Let's see. Which of these animals live the longest? An ocean. Oh, wait, am I going to get closer? I can't see. Okay. An ocean clam, red sea urchin, a Galapagos tortoise, or a rough-eye rockfish. There we go. Okay, we'll be back. All right. Thank you for sharing your Sunday afternoon with me. I greatly appreciate it. Okay, which one of these animals live the longest? An ocean clam, a red sea urchin, a Galapagos, I knew I was going to mess that up again, tortoise, or the rough-eye rockfish?
I'm going to go with the tortoise.
Okay. Yeah. Believe it or not.
It's not?
That's what I would have said, too, because, you know, they're always counting.
Yeah.
How, you know, how long
they're like, how old is this tortoise? They talk about it all the time.
Oh, exactly. Okay. So, yeah, okay. Oh, there I am. Okay. It's the ocean clam. Lives up to 400 years.
What?
For comparison, the longest lived Galapagos tortoise was recorded at 177 years.
Not even
Who
close.
Knew an ocean clam lived 400 years? I mean, to me, that seems like way off. But that's what I would have said, too, was a tortoise. So it's just kind of like, really? Really?
Mm.
Oh, well. It is what it is. So the ocean clam. It's got the I don't know how to say it. It's Q-U-A-H-O-G. How would you say that? Q-U-A-H-O-G.
I don't know.
Okay, and then A-K-A Ocean Clam.
So, okay. Oh, it's called that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I don't know how the heck to say that. I'm not. My English, have you guys been listening to me over 19 years? No, I make up my own words. Me and Julie are kind of like kinder, sisters.
Yeah.
You know, we make up new words and we don't just keep right on going, or we can't say the word correctly, but
it is what it is.
We keep people
exactly.
We keep people on their toes is what
exactly.
We do. Okay, where are we at?
We're back with Trudy.
All right. Hey, Trudy.
Hello.
Okay. So now the thing is that you to read that book, People Training for Good Dogs, is a must. All right. Because now the thing is what you got to remember is that we're all born with a personality, and some personalities are not so nice. And so because if this pup was kind of like this from the beginning, that tells me that, you know, he's definitely a what we call a general. And a lot of times if you don't realize you have a general, you empower them. They become a 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star general. All right. And so what we got to do is we can't change the gender, but we can get rid of those stars. And he has to start earning everything. Now, when you take him for a walk, what do you walk him in? A training collar or a harness?
I have a harness for him right now. I've been trying to find the Star Mark collar that you recommended to Steve, and I can't get my hands on one.
Oh, because they're online. You can't get them?
Yeah, Amazon is almost sold out.
Oh, really? Well, I've got them up at these canines.
Yeah, it's tough to find one small enough.
Oh, so I've been recommending them so much now. So how many pounds is your pup?
He hasn't been to the vet recently. I would say he's probably pushing 20 pounds.
Oh, okay. Probably the small one, the small collar should work for you. Otherwise, you can get the large one. But like I said, I've got him up at Katie's Canines. But that's what we got to do is get him out of the harness. Now, has he ever had a collar on of any sorts?
He has a collar that we keep on him all the time.
Good. Okay, so that's for sure, because at first when you put the Star Mark collar on, you'd leave his training or his buckle collar on. All right, and then so he doesn't have the full effect of it, and then eventually when he gets used to it, then you take the buckle collar off and you just have the Star Mark collar. Because remember, harnesses restrain, they don't train. All they do is you bring them back. You know, they try to go forward, you bring them back. There's no consequence to their action, right? So now we're going to start feeding him in the kennel. All right, he's not going to, so that you don't have to stay in guard. That's the big thing there, all right? Now, he who goes through the door first is a leader. He who goes through second is a peon. You're going to teach him the word wait. You go through, and he can't come through until you say the word let's go. And you got to make him wait. You want him to look up at you like, may I follow you? You're going to almost do it in slow motion. So don't be in a hurry to have him come through. You could practice on the bathroom doors, the bedroom doors, front doors, whatever. Because he who goes through first, what we got to do is put him have him see you more as a leader worth following. And when you have a general, it's a tough nut. Sometimes it goes backwards before it goes forwards because they are objecting to the power being taken away from them. And sometimes they get a little bit gnarlier. You know what I mean? Not like I'm going to take your face off, but you know what I mean? There's repercussions as far as maybe a quick snap or whatever. It's, hey, wrong. And that's what you want to do is you got to be deep in your voice. Be nice. Now, a direct look at him it puts him on the defense. So what you want to get used to is you glance at him and turn your head sideways. Glance at him, turn his head sideways, your head sideways. Because a side profile to a dog is a calming signal. And so what you want to do is you don't want to go up against him. We just want to rearrange things and get him to see you as a better leader. And that's where there's consequences to his actions. And it's not going to be an overnight fix. He's going to have to earn everything. If you want to pet him, he has to sit. If he gets up from the sit, wrong, sit. You know, and then you place him into the sit. And then you give him little tickles, like, you know, in the chest where the V is, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, give him little scooches there. And there again, don't stare at him. Turn your head sideways and then glance back at him. Turn your head sideways and glance back at him. Don't put him on the defense and sit and stare at him. That makes him nervous, all right?
Okay.
And so, like, start teaching some tricks. Because the whole thing is to get him to sit still, focus, and do something for you, all right? And then, do you consider him good weight or overweight?
No, I think he's probably a good weight right
good.
Now.
Good, okay. Because sometimes snarkiness can come from if they've got a thyroid problem. You know, sometimes, you know, aggression can come from if their thyroid is wackadoodle. That's why I asked. Like if he was like a rotund dog, that maybe you want to have the thyroid checked. So anyway, but so that's the thing is that I would strongly suggest either, like I said, I do have the collars up at, you know, Katie's Canines, you know, for a side of her private lesson, or you can just go right into a class lesson, but you need to all get organized here. Now, the big thing is that never, ever, if he's sleeping on his couch or your couch or his bed, never go into his face and space. You wake him up. You clap your hands, stop your feet. And the big thing that gets most dogs moving real quick, squeak a squeaker toy. And he's going to jump up like, whoa, what? Now, you know when they're awake, when they either stretch and or shake. Now their head is with the room, okay? Now he moved. Now you can go sit down, okay? He shouldn't come up on the couch unless he's invited. You can let him drag a nylon leash around the house so you've got something to step on or, you know, pick up and give a little correction, you know, and put it on his collar, not his harness, all right? Okay. But there's a lot of little things that you've got to do to come together, and I really don't, you know, have the time right now to go further. But this will get you started, you know, making feeding him in the kennel, let him drag a leash around the house. He who goes through the door first, you know, is a leader. He, you know, will practice on your, you know, bathrooms and your, you know, bedroom doors, and then obviously the front door. You're going to say the word wait, and the hand signal if you want to do that, you ask him to sit first. Okay, and then say wait, and the hand signal is pointer finger of your right hand sideways, so he sees a side pointer finger. Now, don't point real close to his face, because otherwise he might latch out and get you, okay? So it's just, you just want him visually see it, just say wait. Step out with your right foot, and then maybe take like 5 steps. Don't turn your back totally on him, don't face him. You're just going to look over his shoulder, all right? And then you're going to count real slow in your head. 1, 2, and look, you're all looking over your shoulder. And the minute he looks up at you, now you step, you know, the way you're going and say the word, let's go. He cannot move until you give him the cue of saying, let's go. All right. Then you're going to come back. You know, you're going to go back through the door again. And so then it's sit, point your finger sideways, wait. Step out with your right foot, left foot first, dog comes with, right foot, dog stays behind, okay? And then if he tries to rock forward with you, just rock back. Don't turn back and face him. Just step backwards in the feet you just went forwards in, and just give the leash a correction back towards his tail and say wrong, okay? And then ask him to sit again. Now you get to say wait again. You only get to say wait again once you say at the beginning if you have to give a correction, all right?
Okay,
so try that. But like I said, get that book, People Training for Good Dogs by Berryman, Berryman, and that will help you see things a little bit. We just got to organize the household, we got to organize the dog, and hopefully we can make this come together without, you know, because like I say, some dogs can be repaired, some dogs, you know, just, you got to make decisions, okay?
He's very smart, so we're hopeful.
Good. Start teaching tricks. Get Brain Games for Dogs, okay? By Errol Smith. That's a good place to start. Okay. So yeah.
Thank you. Keep
me in the loop.
I will.
Okay. Thank you. Which of the following animals sleep standing up? Gorillas, flamingos, hedgehogs, or ravens? We'll be back. Alrighty then. Thank you so much for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. Okay, which of the following animals sleep standing up? Gorillas, flamingos, hedgehogs, or ravens?
Flamingos.
Ding, 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 yes. Ding, ding. And the reason why, which is, I don't know, God's got a plan. Don't understand it sometimes, but sure. He's got a plan. Flamingos sleep standing up because the salt flats they live on are too caustic for them to sit down.
Okay.
So it's just kind of like, okay, why would you put a bird in a surrounding where they can't even sit down?
Yeah.
Bring them up here in Minnesota. So tired, you know, at least they can sit down. Well, it's kind of like a horse. A horse has a mechanism where they can sleep standing up, you know, in their legs. And I totally don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, my Jake, who's 34 now, my horse, he's an old style quarter horse. But anyway, he lays down a lot now. You know, he doesn't stand and sleep as much as he used to. And so now he lays down a lot. So I'll need to say we go through a lot of shavings, you know, but to keep him all nice and happy and cozy in his shed. And he won't lay down. If I put him in the barn, he's got a really big box stall. And he will not lay down. He'll stand all night. But I think maybe he kind of senses that he might not be able to, you know, he's not as spry as he used to be.
Sure.
That he might, even though I've got lots of shavings down, that it might be too slippery for him to get his feet underneath them to get them back up again.
Oh.
So that's why I try not to put them in the barn, you know, even though it's a nice box stall. Man, my goodness gracious, like a breeding stall. My husband made a really nice one for the horses.
Oh,
so.
Love it.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. But and then I was going to mention this too with, you know, Jake. I don't know if you guys remember Jiminy Christmas. It had to be about 4 years ago. I was having Jake lost a lot of weight. And he had the Hershey squirts really bad. I mean, it was just like runs, all right? And literally, you know, horses are put, it's like are gauged from 1 to 10 or 11. One, they got 1 foot in the grave. And 10 or 11 is like they're morbidly obese. Jake was a 1.5. And anyway, he just lost so much weight so fast. So long story short, okay, so then I got him some Triple Crown senior diet. You know, I had him on supplements. Okay, I brought him back. And then he was doing really good. But then the Hershey squirts every once in a while would rear its ugly head. Mm. And a couple winters ago, literally his tail was like a 50,000 pounds of ice from it. So I literally had to cut Pertner's tail off because it was so cold, I couldn't break it apart. But anyway, my one girlfriend suggested beet pulp. Okay. And I remember at Hilltop Riding Stables when I worked there with Walt Westman, that he used to feed horses that had the heaves watered down beet pulp. All right. And so anyway, so this gal, Sue, my neighbor, Sue Kirsten, she mentioned, have you tried feeding, you know, the non-sweet that comes in sweetened and it comes in non-sweet.
Okay.
Did you try that, mixing that with the Triple Crown Seniors? And I'm no. So I tried that and it was like a miracle.
Wow.
No more, not even a blip. A blip of the Hershey squirts and real horse turds. Okay, now I've been on that now for, not me, Jake. I've been feeding it to him for 2 years now, and I just can't believe. So anybody out there that has a horse that has, you know, you're having trouble with a lot of diarrhea, get the non-sweetened beet pulp and then try the Triple Crown Senior and mix it. And I always water it down. I put warm water on it when I'm in a hurry and let it sit for at least 45 minutes to an hour. Otherwise, just regular water and it'll sit for maybe an hour and a half, or 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever. And so, but I always water it down. You got to water it down, okay, it for sure. But anyway, so give that a shot, that beet pulp, non-sweetened. I mean, I can't believe it. You don't know how fun it is to go out into the pen and go, real horse apples. Real horse apples. It's been 2 years, and I'm still amazed at the real horse apples. So anyway. Okay, who's up to bat?
Yes, we have Chelsea, and she has a question about her cat that's spraying.
Oh, spraying cat. Hey, Chelsea, how you doing?
Doing good.
Good. What kind of cat do you have? How old?
Tabby cat. He's 10 and a half years old.
Okay. Is that the only cat you have?
Yes.
Okay, and what's he spraying on?
There's a few spots that he's consistent with. Otherwise, there's a handful of random spots we'll find every now and then.
Okay.
And it has, a few times, it has been like we haven't got his box changed fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, I've seen him spray like right after I clean his box.
Okay. Then now, where does he do it? Does he do it like on wet towels, rugs that have rubber backing? Where's his kind of norm?
Well, unfortunately, he's sprayed on our shoes a few times.
Okay.
What's
his personality like?
He is very lazy.
Okay. What's his weight like? Is he overweight?
No, he is 15 pounds.
Okay. Well, that's here and there. There's cats that should weigh 4 pounds and are 10 pounds. You know what I mean? So it's just like for his body structure. I mean, does he have a paunch? Is he a Swiffer?
Nope. And he's from head to butt, he's nearly 3 feet long.
Okay.
He's a big, long tomcat.
Okay. What food do you feed?
It's wet food.
Good.
We have, and I do rotate it through.
Nice.
Okay. Healthy Balance. It's a couple different brands and flavors that I rotate through.
Good. And what litter do you use in your box?
We use Tidy Cats. It's just lightweight, no scented.
Okay. And then, now, does he have any trouble going doo-doos? He does all his doo-doos in the box?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Okay, usually when cats spray, it can be the food they're being fed, could be the litter. And then also there's a problem in the ranks between human and the cat, all right? That they'll go and spray on things with the human that they're having issues with, you know, like their shoes, their clothes, whatever type thing, all right? It's a way of obviously marking territory, all right?
Yep.
And so, and the worst thing you can do, but you can, you know, I get it, is that you yell at the cat for doing it. You know what I mean? And that's the worst thing to do. Because, like I say, cats hold grudges. there's a book, it's called Your Cat by Aloft, Aloff. And she has a lot of good lessons on, it's not only just the health of a cat, it also is works on behavior problems, okay? But it's called Your Cat. It's a real thick book. It's a paperback, but it's real big. It's usually about $14-15 online. But anyway, so that there, by going through that, but usually, like I say, when cats spray, is they're having an issue with a human in there, and that's just the way, like I say, if you look at what he's spraying at, is it always the same person's stuff, like shoes or whatever, or where they sleep or where they sit? Is it?
It's mostly for like my husband's shoes, and he's recently started spraying on the kids' dirty laundry.
Okay, yeah, that's a lot of cats do the dirty laundry. Have you had him in for a wellness check?
I have not. That's going to be next?
Yeah, see, what I would do is, because we want to, at 10, what we want to do is we want to check and see, make sure their kidney, liver, you know, all the main organs, functions, are, you know, bladder, are all working, you know, correctly before we deem that it's a behavioral problem. We, you know, and don't, you know, if they say vaccinations are due, say no. Right now, we're just trying to figure out, is my horse, is my cat, you know, is there anything that is signaling why this is happening? Because sometimes, too, cats will, you know, but usually when he's actually like backing up and his tail goes straight up and he's actually spraying, or is he like sitting down and going potty?
He is actually spraying.
Okay. Yeah, because that's with the tail up and it kind of jiggles.
Yep.
Okay, so that's marking is what it is. But, so that's what I would do, though, is that I would get a wellness check. Draw blood, just check for kidneys, liver, bladder, things like that, just to make sure he's okay. So then we can rule out the health, because there's no sense treating behavior if it's a health problem, right? And so the thing is that, which is causing this behavior, and then that book, Your Cat, that will help you out. But then also, too, like, does your husband like the cat or not?
Well, he is now on his last straw, and he wants absolutely nothing to do with the cat.
Okay, yeah, I figured that. Yeah, and see, the cat's pick, I'm sure that subliminally, like, when you're not around, you know, he might get his digs in with a cat, either yelling at him or whatever type thing, you know, and so he's causing, you know, the tension, and so then now the cat is reacting, all right? And so now, is the cat have total freedom of the house?
He does.
Okay. To get him to back, is there like a room that you can use for a cat room for a while? You know, set it up where he eats and drinks and litter boxes in there. You know, you bring him out and where you pet him and hug him and sit and watch TV with him, but he's not going to get a chance to roam the house that he goes back into his cat house, nor is his cat room, you know, whether it's a laundry room or whatever type thing. You know, because sometimes by separating and giving the 2 weeks to just kind of, okay, let the tensions calm down, that might help. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's what you just got to do is we got to start, you know, just trying different things and seeing. But see, male cats, they can, if you're feeding any dry food at all, that can get crystals in the urine and they can get a blockage from that. But it just really sounds like, you know, that it might be a behavioral. So. But
yeah,
don't know. Have you had this?
Everything I've tried to look up, it's been stories of like, here's my backstory, here's what we tried, here's this product I want to sell you, which is like, I want to know the reason.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. And the best thing to clean it up with is anti-icky poo. That's the best stuff for cat stuff, I'll tell you. I wish they would advertise in my show. Because tell you, that's the only thing I ever found that really, really works on cat spray. And so, anyway, that's best. But like you say, it's why, and that's the biggest thing. And so, like I say, usually when they mark like that, there's a tension in the house, and they're reacting accordingly. All right. And like I say, that book, Your Cat, that will help you through a lot. There's another one. It's by Devine, Devine, and it's Cat Problems and Their Owners. I think it's called Cat Problems and Their Owners. That's another good book, also. Okay, there's not too many good books on cats out there. There's a gal that you can go to the conscientiouscat.com. I can say that. Boy, I'm trying to establish new words that I just, but anyway, conscientiouscat.com. She's kind of a guru in the cat community. Okay, so you can try that. I think I have a link on my under links on my website. You go to links, and then it says cats. I think I got a link to her there, but you can try that. But anyway, so that would be the best thing that I would say, you know, to try. Okay.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right. Yes. Thank you so much.
You bet. Yeah, there's nothing worse than cat pee, I'll tell you. I'm sorry, not even a pig barn. Cat pee.
Right?
Cat pee is so, it just gags you that stench. Mm-hmm. And that's why I became a big believer in anti-icky poo, because that was the only thing that I could do, because at one time we had some cats that were marking terribly. It was a territorial thing with the cats.
Okay.
Oh, God, you couldn't even, and when it stinks cat pee in a barn, you know it's bad.
Ooh, yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it was not good, not good. It was not good. So that's why that anti-icky poo. But anyway, okay. What is the fastest what is the fastest water animal?
Here we go.
A dolphin. A sailfish. A flying fish. Or a tuna. We'll be back. Remember, this is from
Pretty Woman.
Yes. We had a list.
I knew you'd love this one.
Yes, I knew. We could thank a listener for that one.
Yes.
Because, I could picture it. And then, you know what I did? I did go home and watch.
Now I'm like, I want to watch it again.
Yeah, I did go and watch it. Michael Gere. Oh.
You mean Richard Gere?
Richard Gere. I can't even get the name right. Can't say words. I'm really having a hell of a day here. Okay, I'm going to try this again. Porpoise. There we go.
Okay.
Porpoise. Okay. What is the fastest water animal? Porpoise? Sailfish, flying fish, tuna.
Sailfish.
Well, ding, ding, ding.
It is?
Yes, it is.
I don't know what that looks like.
You know, I just watched a special on tuna, and so that's what I mean. It was just, I was thinking it was the tuna. Okay. But no, it's the sailfish. It is the fastest water animal, reaching speeds up to 68 miles an hour. Wow. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Cool name, too.
Yeah. I would have said tuna. But anyway, it is what it is. Okay, a couple things here that I want to bring up before I tell you one more thing. But that I said at the beginning of the show that I was going to tell you at the end of the show, which we're at the end of the show, and we'll get there, okay? Okay, doodles. I am seeing everything crossed with a doodle. Burn of doodles, you know, burn of doodles, sheep-a-poos, Springer Spaniel doodles, you name it. Now, one thing that people aren't, you know, they're going after these doodles because of, you know, non-shedding, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. and allergies and such like that. Okay, that's great. But people, will you do me a favor? Please get that hair cut out of the eyes, especially puppies, because otherwise the world is very spooky to them. They can't navigate stairs correctly. They are a more skittish dog. And I'm calling it the owl cut. It's not a real cut in the groomer's world, but I'm calling it this. All right. And the thing is what you're going to explain to your groomer. You're going to bring him in, and it's like, you know how the feathers of an owl goes away from the eyes?
Yeah.
That's what we want, is all of the top of the head and everything. There should be no blinkers on the, no shelf on the top, no blinkers on the side. So when you need to do this, especially if you guys got pups, take them to the groomer and say you just want the eyes trimmed up right now. Groomers would rather have you come in and get the dog used to coming to the grooming parlor, because it makes their job a lot easier. So please find a local groomer around you, and then go in there, and then also have them show you what brushes you need for that coat and how to use them, because unfortunately most people are thinking they're doing a good job and they drop off the dog and they get it backed and it's buzzed, because what they did is they top groomed them, they didn't groom them all the way, you know, to the, you know, down to the skin. And what people don't realize, take your hair and twist it, and then when it gets to the end where it's pulling on your scalp, okay, that's what the dog is feeling.
Ooh.
You know, all those pulls, because it's so knotted to the skin. And so that's why it's so important that you understand, since you took the time to get a doodle something, that you do it right, and your groomers will love you for this, all right? So just find a groomer. I like the corner ones. I don't like the big box ones. I want to have a really good reputation. I want that person to get to know my needs.
Yes.
And get to know my dog, mm-hmm. okay? So please, if you got anything doodle, will you please do it right? Because that's what I'm so scared of, is that I think the groom, if you want a good job, you become a dog groomer right now. I kid you not, you will be booked for the next 20 years. Because
good.
It is. And there's a place down by Hastings, it's called Rio Grande Grooming, I think, or something like that, or Mentor with another person. Okay, the reason why I waited to the very end here, because I got sad news. My Ethel left on Tuesday. She had a couple days that she wasn't, you know, she wasn't quite right, you know, and it's like, it wasn't anything that, I've been around dogs long enough, I didn't think that it was anything to hit the panic button about. Well, anyway, and nearest I could figure when we got her, when she had to go in for her teeth, when she had all her teeth extracted, that they put her at maybe 7-8 at that time. And so that would make her 15, 16, maybe even 17.
Okay.
You know, compared to how long I've had her.
Yeah.
And so the thing is that I got this dog from Minneapolis Animal Control, her and Lucy, and I couldn't leave one behind. Me and a small dog in the first was a big hoot, and then they have a 3-pounder, and I intentionally got her and Ethel to find him a good home. I didn't want him sitting in Minneapolis Animal Control,
because
I was doing an appearance over there for the station.
You had to take them home.
Anyway, and so the thing is that never in a million years did I ever think that such a little, this is why I had to wait. Kid could get under your heart so much. And I had it together, but I didn't. So anyway, so Ethel left Tuesday peacefully. I didn't have to, you know, put her down. And my boy, I'll tell you, talk about a hole. Holy crap. And I still think every once in a while that I see her little butt going around the corner. So anyway, so that's why I waited to the end, because I knew I wasn't going to hold it together. And then, so this show was dedication by Ethel. So with that, I'll leave you. Thank you, y'all, for listening. Greatly appreciate it. And boy, I'll tell you, you know, we lose our hearts when we lose these guys. But some hurt worse than others. So anyway, so thank you, Hope.
Yeah.
And thank you all for listening. And we'll see you next week.
happy trails to you. Keep smiling and live. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.